I'll take the whole thing. No. Yeah, just, yeah, it's fine. That's quite an introduction. I was requested to speak about the book of the month here at the temple. And in preparing for tonight, I came upon two important quotes from Srila Prabhupada about the book that's being recommended, that if you don't already have it, this book is pretty much mandatory for anyone who wants to be a real, true follower of the Krishna consciousness movement. So before we begin, I would request you to please repeat after me a mantra. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. We'll do it two more times, please. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So this first excerpt is from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please try to hear. He writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a grand fool, yet he maintained that all the words that he'd heard from his spiritual master strictly followed the principles stated by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anato pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhok saje. Lokasya janato vidvangsh chakre satvata sanghitam. The material miseries of a living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. One cannot, now this is Prabhupada continuing, one can overcome all misconceptions and entanglement in the material world by practicing bhakti yoga. And therefore, Vyasadeva, acting on the instruction of Sri Narada, has very kindly introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to relieve the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. And Prabhupada, in his movement, ISKCON, also instituted every day there has to be a class on Srimad Bhagavatam. His purport continues. Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master instructed him, therefore, that one must read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and with scrutiny to gradually become attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So me personally, this particular sentence I take very seriously, because this movement is called the Hare Krishna movement. This movement is specifically meant to preach the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That is what this movement is. So, here we have Prabhupada's instruction. I'm his disciple. So for me especially, I have to take this very seriously. One must read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and with scrutiny to gradually become attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And me personally, yes, that is my personal goal. Those of you who know me for so many years, there are two mantras that I recite before every class, which I forgot to do already. But it just so happens Prabhupada reminded me. First one, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari means that one is supposed to want to chant God's holy name always. And what is the requirement? Four things. Number one, humility. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is outlining 18, 19 different items of knowledge, the first item of knowledge, humility. That's Krishna's first item of knowledge. Then, next thing, if I want to always chant, I must be tolerant. Anyone who's a parent knows what it means to be tolerant. And whoever is a child of a parent knows what it means to be tolerant. Whoever is a husband or a wife knows what it means to be tolerant. But Lord Chaitanya says, that's not enough. You have to be more tolerant than a tree, which has to tolerate wind, sun. Imagine you're a tree on the East Coast right now. What you have to tolerate. You're from the East Coast. Aren't you glad you're here? Yes, I know. Philadelphia, New York, forget about it. So a tree has to tolerate so much. So Lord Chaitanya's example is most appropriate. Then the next two, they go together. One should not be concerned about others respecting them. And then one who wants to be a chanter has to be willing to give respect even to the ant. Not auntie, I'm talking about the ant. The insect. What to speak of human beings, all animals, everyone. One must be give respect. These are the four checks. If you can check this off, 1, 2, 3, 4, then Kirtaniya, then you can easily always chant. And therefore, my next mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. Sometimes you see a bumper sticker. What part of no don't you understand? So here the word no is used three times. Na, na, na. Not karma, not jnana, not yoga. Hare Nama. That is our movement. That's the movement I joined. I joined his Hare Krishna movement. Back in, like you said, 1973. And that was the best decision I ever made in my life. I don't regret it. It's been a wonderful ride so far. It's a roller coaster, yes, it's up and down. But if I had to do it over again, you bet. I wish I had done it sooner. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Now we come to the topic at hand. This is the same purport. Now Prabhupada gives another instruction. One should not partially study a book just to pose oneself as a great scholar by being able to refer to scriptures. Now here comes really profound statement. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore have limited, notice the word limited, our study of the Vedic literatures to, write these down, Bhagavad Gita, right, Kamlesh? Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These four works are sufficient for preaching purposes. So for me, that's significant. I consider myself a preacher. So I have to take this instruction very seriously. We have therefore limited, okay, to these four books. What are they? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada has translated as nectar of devotion. He continues, these four works are sufficient for preaching purposes. They are adequate for the understanding of the philosophy and the spreading of missionary activities all over the world. If one studies a particular book, one must do so thoroughly. That is the principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. Okay, so that's the first quote. All right, now there's another one which is in the Nectar of Devotion, very similar. Please listen. Another stricture is that a person may have many disciples, but he should not act in such a way that he will be obliged to any of them for some particular action or some favor. And one should also not be very enthusiastic about constructing new temples, nor should one be enthusiastic about reading various types of books, save and except the ones which lead to the advancement of devotional service. Practically, if one very carefully reads, what do you think he's going to say? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now in this one, he says, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This book. The book that this temple wants everybody to get before they go home. Am I correct? If you don't have this book, you should get it. Prabhupada said. That will give him or her sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. One need not take the trouble of reading other books. Don't, or I'm just a messenger. I'm not here to debate. I'm just repeating the words of my spiritual master, because every morning there's a song we sing. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriya Aikya. That song says, I simply want to hear the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. And one time, if not more than once, he chastised his disciples by saying, you're singing that every day, but you don't know what you're saying. So, I'm just a messenger. Okay? Everybody can please chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, what is it? So, this is based on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is subtitled The Character of the Living Force in Immortality. Lord Chaitanya, who is who? Who is Lord Chaitanya? Krishna. Very good. He's Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Or you can say, Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined. Okay, that's who Lord Chaitanya is. So, the character of the living force in immortality. Lord Chaitanya, only 500 years ago, demonstrated by his life and teachings what it is like to be a liberated soul. He's God, and he's showing by everything he does, this is what you have to look forward to when you become liberated. Okay, so the Chaitanya Charitamrita discusses Lord Chaitanya's life, his activities or lila, but it also has to do with his instructions or teachings. So this book deals with the major teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For my own advancement, I have read this teachings of Lord Chaitanya several times, as Prabhupada said, thoroughly, line by line. And I realized, because I had also studied Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Prabhupada, in this book, presented the main teachings. But there are many, many more teachings that are there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And someday, I would like to publish that book and call it The Further Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But not now. That's for when I can no longer travel and preach. And some people are thinking, oh, I hope soon. No. As far as I'm concerned, if that book never gets published, that's good. That means I'm still traveling and preaching, which is my prayer. So tonight we're going to deal with this book, The Teachings. So there are five major sections in this book. So first is the teachings to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami and his brother Sanatan Goswami were born in Brahmana families. But by the arrangement of Krishna, they were employed as government ministers for the Muslim government, which was at that time ruling India. Both Rupa and Sanatan had very high ministerial posts in the Muslim government. Because of that, although they were born in Brahmin families, the strict Hindu society ostracized them and said, "You are no longer Hindu. Because you work for Muslim, you are no longer Hindu." And many Indians know what I'm about to say. They adopted Muslim names. Sometimes, not just Indians, in the early part of the 1900s, the Irish, the Italians, everybody came over, and a lot of times they had to change their name, otherwise they couldn't get in the country. It happened to a lot of Jews also. Just to get in, they had to change, I'm sure many Indians had to done that too. They had to adopt their names, because a lot of times they look at, what is this? And they can't pronounce the Hindu name, so they say, oh, your name is Mark, instead of Mukunda or whatever. Just like I had a Bengali friend, and he had to go to some office, so he had a long name, Madhusudan. So the guy at the office said, "Oh, where is Mohammed?" So he kept saying, "Mohammed, Mohammed." So my friend said, "Oh, he must be talking about me." because they can't read the words. So you know what I'm talking about. So Rupa and Sanatan had to change their names. But although they were employed in the Muslim government, internally and by their behavior, they were more than Brahmins. They were pure devotees of Krishna. And as soon as they heard about Lord Chaitanya, they immediately decided, oh, we're finished with this business. So Rupa, he immediately retired from service. And anyone who knows, if you work for the government, I don't know about now, but back then, he had acquired lots of wealth. And he had so much wealth that when he retired, that he had a boatload of wealth. But what did he do? 50% of his wealth he gave away in charity to devotees and Brahmins. 25% of his wealth he put in safekeeping in case of an emergency. And 25% he kept for himself. Prabhupada says that's the ideal retirement. That 25% that he kept for security, his brother used. Because unlike Rupa, when Rupa retired, there were no strings attached. But when Sanatan tried to retire, the magistrate said, ha, 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 no way, I need you. Because Sanatan was so expert, can't remember if it was the Nawab, whoever it was, he had Sanatan managing the whole district. The Nawab was going out and conquering and plundering. He could do that because he had this expert Sanatan managing everything. Sanatan one day called in sick. And the Nawab was thinking, I don't know about this. And what was he doing? He was called in sick. But what was he doing? He was inviting devotees and brahmanas and having a program like this, chanting and discussing spiritual topics. Meanwhile, he's called in sick to the office. So the Nawab had one of his spies attend the program, and he went back and gave the report. He's not sick. He's doing that Hare Krishna stuff. So the Nawab came and said, you called this sick? And Sanatan said, look, I can't do this anymore. You know, I can't stay and manage your government affairs while you are going out and torturing and pillaging. The Nawab said, nay, what are you talking about, Baba? I need you. Without you, I can't go out. So Sanatan said, sorry, no more. So the Nawab said, okay. He arrested him, put him in jail. Let him think about it. Oh, you want to, right? You've heard of the mafia, how they work? That's the oldest trick in the book. He put him in jail. All right, think about it. Maybe you'll change your mind. So in the jail, what did Sanatan do? He had some gold coins. So he called the jailer. Psst, jailer. And he showed him the gold coins. And as soon as the jailer saw the gold kind, right? Just like when Ravana heard about Sita, his eyes popped up. Ooh. So he saw the gold coins. Sanatan said, look, let me escape from jail. You can tell the Nawab that I went to the Ganges to go to the bathroom and I jumped in so you won't get in trouble. And the jailer was thinking, and he added another coin. So that one more coin was, okay, I'll take the coins. So the jailer let him escape. And Sanatan said, don't worry, I'm not going to travel by the common known routes. I'm going to use the back roads, like that. So Sanatan escaped, and he used that money that his brother had kept for safekeeping. His brother said, yes, you can use my money. Rupa, by this time, had already met Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya instructed him for 10 days in Prayag, Allahabad. And those 10 days of Lord Chaitanya instructing Rupa is basically what the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is based on. Those 10 days instruction by Lord Chaitanya has given us that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When Sanatana arrived, Lord Chaitanya spent 2 months with him. And for 2 months, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana. So you will find in this book and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings to Sanatana is a very large section. Many, many chapters. Rupa's chapter is only one in the Chaitanya. But teachings to Sanatana begins with chapter 20 and goes all the way to chapter 24. So that's 5 chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicated to the teachings of Sanatana Goswami. The teachings to Sanatana pretty much sums up everything you need to know about how to be a pure devotee of Krishna. The beginning of the teachings to Sanatana approaches Lord Chaitanya. He puts a straw in his mouth. He goes down humbly to Lord Chaitanya. He says, my Lord, people call me a pundit. And he was a pundit. After all, he's running the whole Muslim government. So he's no dummy, materially. He knows how to do things, right? And he also could speak in several languages, including Parsi. So he was quite intelligent, quite capable. And in fact, it was mentioned, when Sanatana left his position, all the greedy secretaries immediately said, oh good, Sanatana's gone. We're going to get the post. They were very eager to take over. Right? You know that in the office. If this person goes down, oh, I want that. Right? In a law firm. I'm next in line for partnership. You know how it is in the office. It's cutthroat. Dog eat dog. Stab you in the back. I've worked in an office. I know what it's like. Politics, right? Office politics. So, Sanatana approached Lord Chaitanya. My Lord, people call me a pundit. And I like it, right? Who doesn't like, right? If somebody glorifies you, Prabhupada even makes a point in one of his books. When somebody is elevated to a position, even if they're not qualified, they assume, oh yes, they should have noticed me before. I've experienced that myself. I was once elevated to a position, and I thought, oh, now I'm king. But after a while, you realize, hey, I'm not cut out for this. But it's human psychology. When you're elevated to a position, you automatically think, yeah. Like even the Beatles, Paul McCartney. After the Beatles first made it, they asked Paul McCartney, so what do you think? He said, yeah, we should have got discovered a long time ago. Puffed up, I think, don't you think? Where's your humility? That's human nature. So Sanatana said, people call me learned. I'm so learned, I don't even know who I am. Which is very intelligent. That's actually an intelligent statement. I'm so learned, I don't even know who I am. So there's that important question, Kayami, who am I? And that is significant because that is how one should approach a spiritual master. There's no point in approaching any spiritual master thinking, I know what's going on. Come on. Now, just like, don't go to a doctor if you're not going to follow what he tells you to do. Right? Or you go to a dentist. All right, look, we told you, you need to do this. And I'm not doing that. And why'd you go? You go to the doctor and he says, you got high blood pressure, diabetes, this and this, and you need to do this. Yeah. Why did you waste your time? So the same way, don't go to a guru and not be willing to accept what he tells you. So Sanatan and Arjuna was the same way. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna said, my Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what I should be doing now. Please instruct me. That is the proper way to approach a spiritual master. Not that, yeah, of course he's going to accept me. I'm so qualified. Why, I'm Mr. Wonderful. Of course Gurudev will accept me. He'll be glad to have me as his disciple because I'm so wonderful. That's not the wrong attitude. Any spiritual master accepts that kind of disciple's in trouble because he'll become the disciple and the disciple will become the guru. All right, Gurudev, now do this. Oh, Gurudev, now go here. Do it. The Gurudev becomes a puppy dog. Yes, I've sent my guru out for preaching. Yes. I've met people like this. Trust me. They exist. So, I'm in a good mood tonight, as you can see. I love coming to this temple. I love your temple. Please continue to have this nice temple. Rupanuga, with you here in this temple, and all the devotees, and Tukaram, everybody, this temple is so beautiful. Carry on. Stay the way you are. Preach Krishna. Everybody in agreement? ISKCON Panchatattva Laguna Beach Ki. That's why I'm so happy. You can't go wrong. With Panchatattva, can't go wrong. It's wonderful. Look at, right? Haribo! That's how you feel when you come to this. As soon as, oh, yeah, Haribo. Before you come in the temple, you're like this. But when you see Gornitai Panchatattva, Haribo! No more anxieties. You're in Vaikuntha. So Sanatan said, my Lord, tell me who I am and why am I suffering? And from there, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan begin. He starts with the understanding of the living entity. First thing Lord Chaitanya says, who are you? You're the eternal servant of God. That's it. You're the eternal servant of God. If you are spiritual, that should make you very happy. I'm the eternal servant of God. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm the servant of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love this Krishna consciousness movement because it is the great equalizer. I don't need to try to lord it over you. You don't need to lord it over me. Why? Because we're all the same. We're just the eternal servant of God. Hari Bol. Group hug. That's all we are. And then from the position of the soul, the position of Krishna is explained. And all the basic fundamental teachings ending with the final chapter, which is so nice. What is the final chapter of the teachings to Lord Chaitanya? Life's ultimate goal. Now I will give you a test. Multiple choice. So, life's ultimate goal. Number one, money. Number two, fame. Number three, love of God. Is it one, two, or three? That you'd be surprised. Some people may answer one or two, but you have been properly educated, and you loudly said, three, love of God. Prema Pumarato Mahan. Everybody say, love of God is the ultimate goal of life. Next is the teachings to Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati was the second most famous preacher or teacher of Vedanta in all of India of the time. He had 60,000 sannyasi disciples. So he's pretty big time. So when he first heard about Lord Chaitanya, he blasphemed him. He criticized, oh, that Chaitanya, he is a sentimentalist. He is supposed to be like one of us, a Shankarite Mayavad sannyasi. He is supposed to be doing meditation. He is supposed to be eating this much prasad, that's all. And he's supposed to be thinking and discussing the Vedanta Sutra. But he's not doing any of this. What's he doing? He's associating with the low class people, doing his Hare Krishna dancing and chanting. Low grade activities. And indeed, Prakashananda told one Brahmana, this Brahmin went to Prakashananda and said, oh, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fantastic. When I see this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I become so enlivened. He speaks about Krishna. And Prakashananda said, yes, I have heard about this Chaitanya. He is a sentimentalist. Brahman, if you follow this Chaitanya, you will go to hell. So the Brahmin went to Lord Chaitanya. He said, oh my God, Lord Chaitanya, he blasphemed you. Lord Chaitanya said, that's all right. So a meeting was arranged. A different Brahmana in Benares, Kashi, Varanasi, he once invited Prakashananda and all of his disciples to his house. He must have had a big house to invite 60,000 sannyasis. I mean, we have a problem that Namahat, 100 people, we're freaking out. Anyway, this guy invited Prakashananda and all the disciples, and he asked Lord Chaitanya, would you come? He said, I know you don't mix with these Maya bodies, but would you come? Lord Chaitanya, yes, I will come. So Lord Chaitanya came, and in those days, it may still be in India, in those days, the sannyasis walked barefoot. So when you entered somebody's house, there would be a place where you wash your feet before entering. Is that still there in India? Okay. So Lord Chaitanya washed his feet, but then in a very peculiar manner, sat down right in the spot where he washed his feet. Which is like, huh? And but then what did he do? He sat down and he started to glow and expand. And his effulgence was like millions of suns. And everybody went, whoa. Because the Mayavadis believe that when you take sannyas, you become God. That's what their philosophy is. You take sannyas in the Shankaracharya Sampradaya, now you become Narayan. Everybody say that holy name? Narayan. That's what they believe. Now, none of them could, even Prakashananda, could never have done what Lord Chaitanya did. So they said, whoa, we like to think of ourselves as Narayan, but this guy, he really has become Narayan. Because if somebody starts glowing as if they're millions of suns, it leaves quite an impression. So Prakashananda extended his hand to Lord Chaitanya, very significant, and said, Your Holiness, why are you sitting in this unclean place? So that was his service. That was very significant. So then Lord Chaitanya was brought in the midst, and they said, Prakashananda said, We know you avoid us. Why do you avoid us? Why do you do your Hare Krishna chanting with the low-born people? Why aren't you like us reading Vedantra and meditating? Lord Chaitanya said, Well, if you really want to know, my guru called me a fool. Now that's significant. Here is God, and his guru calls him a fool. So if your spiritual master calls you a fool, don't feel bad. Because Lord Chaitanya was called a fool, and he didn't get upset. He took it on the chin. Yes, my Guru Dev calls me a fool, I must be a fool. So Lord Chaitanya said, My Guru Maharaj told me not to read Vedanta Sutra, which is the main activity of the Mayavadis. Lord Chaitanya said, My Guru said, just chant Hare Krishna. I did it. My Guru said, chant Hare Krishna. I did it. But something happened. I started to chant Hare Krishna. My hairs stood on end. I would shiver. I would fall to the ground. Tears would come from my eyes. I thought, I must be in Maya. I went back to my guru. Maharaj, you told me not to read Vedanta Sutra. I obeyed you. You told me just to chant Hare Krishna. I did that. But all these things are happening. What am I doing wrong? Gurudev said, Ah, I am a nonsense. Gurudev now says, I am a nonsense. But because you followed my instructions, you achieved the success of chanting. You have experienced perfectional chanting because you are experiencing the ecstasy of love of God. Because Lord Chaitanya's chanting was perfect. No offense. Pure chanting. Let's all do it one time. Are you ready? Together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Guru said, I am a nonsense. But because you followed my instructions, you have achieved success. Then Gurudev gave him three more instructions. The first one, go on chanting. Whoa. Not that, hey, I'm perfect now, I don't need to chant. Na 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 na. Go on chanting. How? In the association of devotees. But I am perfect chanter. Doesn't matter. In the association of devotees. And number three, go out and preach this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Three instructions from his guru after perfection. Some people think, okay, I'll take a guru up until a certain point. Then at a certain point, goodbye, guru. I don't need you anymore. Right? Like, many of you have graduated from college. You're not going back to your college professors. Oh, please instruct me. Right? You paid your money, right? Goodbye, I had enough of you. But not in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you will always want to hear from your guru. In Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, I spoke in Los Angeles Temple, and I said, I had everybody imagine, wouldn't it be great if for one day, Prabhupada would come back to life And then we could ask him all the questions that we have been debating since 1977. Final GBC meeting. But this time on the internet, and everybody will hear Prabhupada's answers, and everybody gets a chance to ask Prabhupada a question until he's exhausted. And then Prabhupada could go back to the spiritual. I would love that. And have it recorded, of course. Because you know, after Prabhupada leaves, everybody's going to go, change it. No, we have the record, Prabhupada. How many people would love that to happen? Yes, I would love that. Maybe in a dream. If I ever have that dream, I'll tell you. I'll somehow record it. Prabhupada ki. So Prakashananda heard Lord Chaitanya's initiation. Then Prakashananda said, okay, what is wrong with Vedanta? Lord Chaitanya said, nothing wrong. I know Vedanta. So they said, okay, you please explain. So Lord Chaitanya gave the correct explanation of the Vedanta Sutra, and Prakashananda, everybody was completely amazed. Wow. Because he expertly knew all the points of the Mayavad philosophy and point for point obliterated it and established the real Bhakti Vedanta as Prabhupada's title. Bhakti Vedanta. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. The end of knowledge is Bhakti. Same thing Krishna says in your Bhagavad Gita. Three times in Bhagavad. I've read it, so I know. Three times in. Kamlesh, am I right? Yes. Three times. You want to know Krishna? Bhakti. You want to see Krishna? You want to come to Krishna? What part of bhakti don't you understand? So, the last. Oh, no, there's two more parts. I'm still got time. So after, the next one is the teachings to Sarvabhauma. Now I mentioned that Prakashananda was the number two Mayavad. Sarvabhauma was the number one Mayavad scholar in all of India. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri, which was to become his headquarters for the next 18 or so years. 6 years, Lord Chaitanya traveled throughout South India after taking sannyas, and he spent the last 18 years in Jagannath Puri. So when Lord Chaitanya entered the Jagannath temple, he fainted. And anyone who's been to the Jagannath temple, there are occasions when the pujaris have these sticks. And if you're not behaving properly, gong, right? Anybody experienced that? I know you're all good. I wasn't allowed. I'm sure if I was in the temple, you, gong. So Krishna spared me. He wouldn't let me enter Jagannath temple. Anyway, they were about to kick Lord Chaitanya, thinking, oh, he's a pretender. But Sarvabhauma said, no, stop. And Sarvabhauma did the test to see if somebody is faking. So they put the cotton swab under Lord Chaitanya's nose. And if you didn't, you would think he had died. But there was still air coming out of his nose, so they knew this is the real thing. He has fainted out of divine ecstasy. It's not a pretend. So Sarvabhauma said, let him be. So it was arranged. Sarvabhauma took Lord Chaitanya under his personal care. Because Sarvabhauma could realize, oh, this very young sannyasi, he's only 24, 25 years old, very handsome. How will he remain sannyasi? So Sarvabhauma, by his care, developed a nice friendship with Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma said, I want to instruct you in Vedanta philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I accept. So for 7 days, Lord Chaitanya would sit and Sarvabhauma would pontificate the Shankaracharya Mayavad philosophy. For 7 days, Lord Chaitanya just listened. After 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, something's wrong. Usually the student has questions. 7 days I'm speaking. I don't know if you accept or not accept. What is in your mind? Lord Chaitanya said, well, I understand Vedanta very well, but what you're speaking, excuse me, but what you're speaking is like clouds. Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. It's self-effulgent. But what you're saying makes no sense. And he's the topmost. Oh, you think you know better? Tell me what is Vedanta Sutra. He opened the door. He opened. Oh, really? Okay. Then Lord Chaitanya, point for point, started to knock off all the faults of Shankaracharya's Mayavad philosophy. Sarvabhauma was like, huh? And whatever argument Sarvabhauma came up with, Lord Chaitanya, like Ram, shut it down. Shh, next. Oh, that one. Next. Boom. Next. Any argument till Sarvabhauma became exhausted. He had no more arguments. And every argument, Lord Chaitanya, next. Next. Completely defeated him. Finally, Sarvabhauma realized this must be God himself. And so Sarvabhauma surrendered. Completely surrendered to Lord. So you can imagine, right? Imagine like this. What if the Pope one day came and said, I want to be a disciple of ISKCON? Be pretty big news, right? What if the Ayatollah of Iran came and said, I want to touch the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada? Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? Now, as far as Obama, he already met Radhanath Swami and he's taken Prasad, so he's off the list. But there's all these other rascals. But have you seen that picture of the Dalai Lama putting a garland on the deity of Prabhupada? How many have saw that picture? Yes, there is a actual, it's not photoshopped. The Dalai Lama, I don't know which temple it is, but there's a picture of the Dalai Lama putting a garland on the murti of Srila Prabhupada. Now we got more work to do. Okay? So Sarvabhauma becoming a disciple of Lord Chaitanya was big news and it spread like wildfire. And not only did he become a disciple, he became a fanatic. He became a fanatic follower. So if you run into a fanatic Hare Krishna, be merciful. They mean well. Sarvabhauma became a fanatic. He became so much a fanatic, he wanted to change a word of Srimad Bhagavatam because he didn't like it. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, 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 can't do that. No changing the books. Thank you, Krishna. All right. So Sarvabhauma became a big follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the last section of this, don't lose track. What book is this? And you're all going to get it if you don't have it. And if you have it, you could get it to give to someone as a gift. You could do that too. How many copies do we have?
Plenty.
Plenty. What's the going rate?
$5.
Bottom, rock bottom. You got it fair. Now $5, I'm going to go $5. It's only $5. And you get free prasad, right? And you get a free play. All right, so the final section of this book is the teachings to Ramananda Rai. Ramananda, this is very significant. Ramananda Roy was also a government man, and because of his particular position, he was considered Shudra, low class, because of the... In some part of India, he was considered like a little upper class, but in most of India, his position, he was considered low class, Shudra. So Sarvabhauma, when he heard that Lord Chaitanya was going to tour South India, Sarvabhauma knew about this Ramananda Roy, so he told Lord Chaitanya, if you meet, or if you have a chance to meet this Ramananda Roy, make sure you do, because I think you will really like him. So one day, Lord Chaitanya is on the bank of the Godavari River, and Ramananda Roy is there, and he's traveling with a bunch of brahmanas, and they meet. And as soon as they see each other, they can feel this attraction, and they run to each other, and they embrace, because Ramananda Roy is the gopi Vishakha. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. So they have a connection, but it's internal. Now, upon embracing, they're crying and feeling ecstasy, but then they realize, uh-oh, we're in public, and the brahmanas are thinking, what? The sudra is embracing a sannyasi. So they immediately stop, because it was causing a disturbance. But Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda, let's meet in the night, and we will discuss Krishna. So Ramananda Roy, Kamlesh, is also referred to as Arjuna. So it's the opposite of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is instructing Arjuna, but in this case, Arjuna is instructing Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya says to Ramananda Roy, all right, what is the goal of life? Ramananda Roy starts to answer. So Lord Chaitanya would ask questions, Ramananda Roy would answer, and it went higher and higher and higher and higher, until at one point Lord Chaitanya puts his hand over, don't talk anymore, it's too high, stop. But they go on. If you want to know more, you have to read the book. Did I make my case? Let us chant the Maha Mantra. Now, I've been told it's 7 o'clock. The fat lady has sung. It's time for Aarti in Kirtan. Thank you very much. You have made my day perfecto. Hare Krishna. I'll try. And if I can't, I'll give it to somebody. Huh? All right, so he'll take over if I can't go anymore. I'll do it.